This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 4, IDM Technical and Operations, held on the 9th of February, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for a recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Ruben School. Please begin.
Thanks, Sarah. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, everyone, or any time of day that's not mentioned before in your time zone. This is meeting 7 of work track 4, which is tasked among other teams looking into IDM and security and stability issues for subsequent procedures. And we will touch both these teams in this meeting, but we mostly focus on IDMs. So let's move to item 2 of the agenda, which is just checking if anybody has some updates to the statements of interest. If so, please let be known now. Seeing none, hearing none, we move to item 3 of the agenda. Full work group update. I don't know if Jesse or Avery has any updates for us. Jeff has. So please, Jeff, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Most of you are on other work teams as well, so the only update I'll really give is that I think it was either last night or 2 nights ago you've had sent around a volunteer email for each of the 3 mapping teams we're creating, one on differentiation of TLDs, another one on predictability of the process, and the third one is on come up with a proposal of dealing with rounds or the hybrid mechanism that we're talking about. So far, only a few people have signed up, but if you don't have a copy of that email or you need the link, actually, Steve just put up the sign-up sheet. So if you want to volunteer for one of those 3, that would be great. Just click on that link, that Google Docs link that Steve has provided. Otherwise, I will talk to everyone in the full group call on Monday. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Our next item on the agenda will be about everything you so eagerly wanted to know about IDM, but have never were too afraid to ask. So we have a presentation out by Sarman Hussain. Please, Sarman, go ahead.
Thank you. Can you all hear me?
Hear perfect. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for allowing me to give an update to all of you on the work we are doing in the IDN program. I've done is taken a liberty of giving an overview of all of our projects, and that will give you a chance to see the breadth of work, and then we can obviously go into more details and take questions on any specific topics you would want more details in. So let me start by an overview. Most of the work with the IDN program is focused on IDNs at the top level. But we also undertake a couple of projects which are relevant for second level for GTLDs as well as in some ways CCTLDs. For the top level, one of the largest program we undertake is called the IDN-TLD program, and I'll talk about the different parts of it, which include the label generation rules, the LGR toolset, and the IDN variant TLD implementation. And for the second level, we'll talk about briefly about IDN implementation guidelines and reference second level LGRs. So let's get into this. I'm just going to start with a bit of a background on IDN TLD program. So this work basically was triggered by the need identified by the community on different TLDs having the possibility of variants at the top level. At that time, it was not really clear what variants are and how they should be defined. So there was initially a set of six case studies which were done in 2011 to understand or identify what the issues were. These six case studies looked at different scripts, and based on the analysis across these scripts, eventually the analysis were integrated into a single report which covered all the various problems, and that helped define the issues into a single concrete problem which needed to be solved. The report which covered all the different issues is normally referred to as the Integrated Issues Report. Based on the collective set of problems which were defined, the community worked further to find out how to actually solve the problem. There were three areas which were identified to solve the problem. First of all, it was very clearly identified that a single set of experts may not be able to identify all the various issues related to the different scripts. So if this work has to be done properly, we need to organize each script community to define their own issues and possible solutions around variants and validity of top-level domains. The second part of this was that when we organize all these community-based script panels, they would produce linguistic data, which can obviously be documented as Word documents or PDF documents, but eventually this linguistic data has to be machine parsable, so there must be a formal mechanism which should be developed to store these linguistic rules and technical rules and in a way that they are machine processable or parsable. Therefore, there was a separate project which was started which defined an XML specification for this linguistic data being produced by different script communities. Eventually also tools to process this XML data so that one could, you know, use this information to determine what is a good label versus a bad label, and for the good labels, what are the variants of those of the good label. And then there was a separate study done on user experience and how, you know, how variant TLDs should be managed to address any user experience issues. So this structure or the solution was defined in 2012 and 13, and after 2013 in the last phase, there were actually projects started which started addressing these problems. And basically one of the larger projects which we are currently undertaking is called the LGR or Label Generation Rules Development Project. And as I said, the solution which we are implementing is what the community had suggested, which was to develop volunteer panels for all the different script communities which will define their own rules for what is a good label versus bad label and what is a variant of a label for their own script. And then in addition, we worked with other folks at Internet Engineering Task Force platform, ITF platform, to define an RFC as a standards track RFC to store this linguistic information. And that RFC is now finalized, and we've also developed a tool which can process those that kind of data. And I'll talk a little bit more about these later on as well. And then obviously the third part is the LGR TLD implementation. So we'll talk about these projects separately. So this is an overall background of where we're coming from. So in any case, in sum, what I suggested was that the process which was proposed by the community was that each script will formulate its own what is called a generation panel, and they will propose what the solution is. So the community is going to give us the solution, each script community for their own script. And then we have an integration panel at ICANN, which takes the individual generation panels, reviews it to make sure that it meets the security stability criteria which has been defined by the community, and integrates each individual script panel into a central root zone LGR label generation rules. And if there is obviously any revision which needs to be done, obviously the integration panel communicates with the relevant GP, sends feedback until the particular proposal for that script meets the security stability criteria and the technical criteria specified, and then based on that, you know, these scripts are integrated into the larger rule set. And then this larger rule set is, as I said, used to determine what the top level domain name is for a particular script and what are the variants of those top level domains. So far, we've received Arabic and Armenian script LGRs were the first ones to finish. Those communities were the first ones to finish, and we used those proposals and integrated them and released the first version of LGR in March 2016. Since then, Khmer, Georgian, Lao, and Thai script generation panels have also finished their work. And they've been released for public comment, and after public comment, they are now being currently we're working on integrating them into what is going to be the second release of LGR, which is supposed to come around the ICANN 58 in March of 2017. So this is currently work in progress. However, these are not the only script communities which are at work. As you can see, in addition to those which have finished, we have the Chinese, Cyrillic, Ethiopic generation panels and Korean generation panels, which are reasonably advanced in their work, as well as some other communities which are also on their way. However, obviously, there are some communities which are yet to form and start their work. So we are expecting eventually, once we are done, to have at least 28 scripts covered in the label generation rules, which will be specified by 19 different groups. And the reason number of scripts and the generation panels are not equal is because some generation panels are doing multiple scripts. So, for example, New Brahmi generation panel is doing 9 different scripts, which are used in India and other regions in South Asia. That's why the count do not match. However, I guess the important thing to note is that these are rules which are defined by the community-based panels and reviewed, obviously, internally before integration. Once the data comes in, it has to be formally represented, and then we need to have tools which can process this data. So over last couple of years, the specification to store this data has been formalized through an RFC 7940. It's a standards track RFC, which gives XML specifications of how this data should be stored. And then we have developed tools which are available. So there is a tool which is available at lgrtool.icann.org, which you can go and use. it can help, allow you to, so it's basically designed so that generation panel can use this tool to create their label generation rules, and once they are created, an end user can go and load these label generation rules and use them to determine based on, so for example, if I load the Arabic label generation rules, then I can go and type in an Arabic label, and it will tell me whether that label is valid or not for top level, and then also tell me what are the variants of that label. So this tool automatically uses this machine readable data being produced by the generation panels and gives me the solution as an end user to determine, you know, the right set of TLDs which I want to take forward. The tool is also available, of course, with a BST open source license, so anybody can use it, and there's a user guide for it available as well. So moving onwards, of the applications which have been received for IDNs, both CCTLD in the CCTLD and GTLD space, there have been applications which have requested for variants. So there is the community has shown that there are variants required in some cases, and most of those cases come from Arabic and Han scripts. In September 2010, ICANN board resolved that no variants of GTLDs will be delegated through the new GTLD program until an appropriate variant mechanism solution is developed. If you remember the integrated issues report I was talking about, noted that to address this, there were two things which needed to be solved. First, there was no variant definition. So there has to be a mechanism to define what a variant top level domain variant of a top level domain is, and then once the variants are set of variants are defined, some variant management mechanism obviously must be in place. So the community has already addressed the solution for the first problem in a way that they're saying, or the community suggested, that these label generation rules for the root zone which are being developed are in essence going to give us what the variants of a top-level domain is. And this is work which is done by the community directly. So obviously it's representative of a community-based solution. And so once these LGRs are available which give us variants, the second step in the process is to determine what variant management mechanism is, you know, in an application process. For example, how will a variant be applied for, how will it be managed eventually after it's delegated, and so on. So that's work which is currently, we're doing some homework internally on it, but that's work which needs to be developed further and matured. And obviously community consensus needs to be developed around this work as we go forward. In addition to the top-level domain program for GTLDs, we are also supporting the fast-track process through which IDNCCTLD applications are evaluated and then eventually delegated. This slide shows some of the names or domain names or top-level domain names which have been successfully evaluated. It includes 57 TLDs from 39 different countries and territories. Fast track process normally goes through annual or almost an annual review process. The last time the annual review was done was in 2015. Actually, it raised issues with second similarity review process, which is defined as part of the fast track, and based on that comment, public comment, board resolved CCNSO to review the EPSRP process, which is for use for second similarity review, and CCNSO is currently doing that review. They actually formed a working group which has recently finalized their recommendations, and those recommendations are now back with the board, and board is under consideration by the board. So that's the status. Once these are finalized, they will be taken back into the fast-track process, and fast-track process will be updated and published. So moving onwards, we move to some of the projects which we undertake focus on the second level. So IDN implementation guidelines is, I guess, one of the more significant ones. These are guidelines for IDN registration policies and practices at the second level. Basically, they're designed to address end user concerns, for example, to minimize end user confusion. They are actually very relevant because they are contractually binding to registrars and registries through the GTLD program, and then they are also suggested as recommendations through the fast track process for IDN CCTLDs. The last version of version 3 of these guidelines was published in 2011, so it's been a bit old, I guess, or outdated in a sense, because since 2011, it's been now 5 years. We've done communities has a lot gained much more experience with IDNs, their deployment. So there was basically a request by the GNSO community to update these guidelines, and that work is under process. We've actually called for volunteers last year to formulate a working group to revise these guidelines. We got interest from ALAC, CCNSO, GNSO, and SAC, so we have people on this working group which are working in revising these guidelines now. The revisions are now including recommendations or guidelines on transition from IDNA 2003 standard to IDNA 2008 standard. They have guidelines on terminology, format of IDN tables, consistency of IDN tables, user acceptance, IDN variant labels at second level, and similarity and confusability of IDN labels at the second level. So this working group has been presenting their findings at ICANN meetings, and they are also planning to I think the work is almost finished, so there is a likely chance that one of the final drafts of this before the group goes to a formal public comment process will be presented at ICANN 58. In addition to this, there was some discussion at ICANN 15 in London where the GNSO community was talking about the complexity of PDD and RCEP process in the context of IDN tables for the second level. And so to assist the applicants and registry operators who go through PDD and RCEP, we initiated a project in which we are developing reference second level label generation rules or language tables or IDN tables. We initially developed a process to develop these IDN tables, which went through a public comment process last year. The guidelines were developed for these LGR. They also went through a public comment process, and finally, based on these guidelines, we've developed reference LGRs for multiple languages, and this is work under progress, so we're adding more languages as we speak. These are, again, reference second-level LGRs. They're not required to be followed, these are guidelines for registries in case they want to see, what would be a possible solution. To date, these are being developed and published in the most recent RFC 7940 machine-readable format. Currently we have 28 LGRs which are actually published online. We are now also adding a process where communities can work together to add to these repositories so that you know, registries which would like to add these languages or scripts to their RDN offering can review and reference these. And I think that's all. I went through this rather quickly. Idea was that give you an overview and then we can take questions and go in more details where we would like. So thank you very much. I'll stop here.
Thank you, Salman. Why are people think on questions for the right way? Ask a question that I actually know the answer for, so it's kind of rhetoric, but it's a thing that has been raised in the community of why there is why it is forbidden to apply for emoji TLDs, which were available in iDNA 2003.
Sorry, I could not understand the question. Could you please repeat?
Yes, Herman. The question is why it's not allowed to apply for emoji DTLDs, like smile face or angry face or other EMOJs. It's kind of rhetoric, but it's a common recurring question in the community.
Okay. So basically, the work which we do, the code points which we can support are based on IDNA 2008, which is defined by Internet Engineering Task Force. It's a set of RSCs which are defined by IETF. So as far as ICANN is concerned, of course, what we can use is a subset of what is already allowed in IDNA in 2008. And therefore, it's something which we cannot do independently of IETF. If we want to take that discussion further, it has to be taken up at the IETF platform. There are, and I think I would probably leave it there. Different technical experts have their own view on why emojis are not something which can be allowed. But again, I think that's a discussion which is probably better to be done at IETF platform.
Thank you, Salman. We have some questions by Jeff Newman in the chat. If you prefers to ask them in audio, I think it would be better. Can you, Jeff? Otherwise, I read your questions from the chat. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I just put a couple of questions in the chat, but as you were going along, it just made me think of some questions, and it would be great to get your input. The first one is when you were talking to Ants, now you have the tools, or we have the tools, to determine whether something is or is not a variant of an existing or applied for TLD. And then you said that we are doing work on how variants can be used at the top level or who can use them, and because I think that some had actually requested that they be allowed to use the TLD and a variant. Was that something you expected this group to work on, or is there a group that's already working on those issues? That's the first question.
To respond to that, basically, I think what was suggested was that there has to be some technical solutions which need to be evaluated. And so I think what an exercise we are currently doing internally, which is still under process and not yet finished, is to find out, you know, what are the issues as far as technical details are concerned, and what would be possible, you know, feasible solutions. And as soon as some solutions are available, obviously what we would do is come back to the community to share the possible solutions and get community guidance on what would be the best way forward. And we're hoping that we should be able to come back to the community for guidance maybe, you know, within next couple of months or so.
Okay, thanks. So, I
so
think, then
just sorry, please go ahead.
I was just going to go on then to say that until those come out, I think then the prohibition on from 2010 should still apply until and unless those solutions are found, right?
Exactly. So, and then I think once we come up, we share some initial recommendations, we would obviously look towards the community and I think probably this group to eventually see how that should really be adopted into the policy, or how or what portion of that is relevant for policy kind of discussion. So you know, just to give you an example, at this time there has been you know, this work which is going on, as I said, where the community-based panels are developing these LGRs, and these LGRs in a way define what is a valid top-level domain and what are the variants of the top-level domain. So I guess the question would be that is that the would that be considered an authoritative source for an application process? So, for example, the variants and valid top-level domains should be derived through using root zone LGR. That's, for example, something which eventually should be considered as a policy matter, which should be obviously something which this group would eventually have to discuss and debate and finalize. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it would seem to me that that would satisfy the tool that would be used in something like a string similarity review, that each string would have to go through those tools to see whether they are variants or not of something that's existing or something else applied for. And if it's a variant of something existing, I would think that it would have to be, the application would have to be denied. If it were a variant of something else applied for, then it'd have to go to whatever conflict resolution process that we have. Then the second question I had, second question I had was that in PDT, the pre-delegation testing, SE, the .SE registry, they were the testers. We got an answer to at least until the end of 2014. I haven't followed it since. But I know that we had asked, when I worked at a registry, had asked the SE people to provide us with what would be acceptable tables to pass through PDT. Now that we have these new label generation rules and we have the RFC that has published those, if a registry is compliant with that RFC, does that automatically mean that they would pass CDT for those languages and scripts that are in there.
Right. So we are, as I said, separately publishing IDN tables for reference IDN tables for the second level. From, you know, that's a separate work from the root zone LGR, which is applicable for the top level. So focusing on the second level LGRs, the reference ones, as I mentioned before, registry can use those, and if it uses those, obviously it would pass the test, because these are pre-tested in a way for security and stability considerations. But that does not mean that a registry must follow them. A registry may also propose its own solution. But in those cases, then security and stability testing would be needed as per the policy, implementation of the policy.
Thanks. And I think that's this is Jeff Newman again. I think we should probably consider putting that guidance into the equivalent of, if we use a guidebook or whatever we use, we should probably put that guidance in there so that it gives certainty to those that do follow the reference guidelines the implementation guidelines. And if someone chooses to do their own implementation mechanism, then it would have to go through much more rigorous testing. And then the last question I had was, in 2012, applicants were prohibited from applying for single character IDNs at the top level. It was also prohibited that anyone would apply for ASCII single character TLDs. I don't think the issue was really thoroughly considered with the IDN aspect, and I think it was just late in the game when people thought of the issue. But just a kind of an opinion question, do you see any reason, either technical or policy-related, why we should or should not continue a ban on single-character IDN TLDs?
From what I understand, there is an ESSAC advisory which explains why single character IDNs may actually present a risk, and therefore suggesting that they should not be allowed. I cannot remember the number of the particular advisory. I think it's SAC 60, but I could be wrong. So I can actually I will come back and share that with all of you. So the reason, the technical issue is actually given in that particular report. Obviously, I think that particular report has suggested that more investigation needs to be done to address this issue. That follow-up review or investigation has not been done yet, and if that is something which the community would like to do, that is something which obviously you would please let us know, and then we will see, we can go back to a SAC and see if that is discussion which we need to have with them, and then with their guidance do any follow-up work. But at this time, there is no follow-up done on that particular advice.
Okay, thanks. This is Jeff. I think now is probably a good time to do that work. It's my understanding, and I just clicked on the link. Thanks. I think Sprang had posted the link. So it's ESSAC 52 is the document, and it I do remember reading it, but it was a very conservative view that said that we don't know the repercussions at this point in time, if any, so we're just going to say you shouldn't do it. I think that given the fact that I know that single characters in these languages have meanings, you know, they can mean a word, a phrase, a sentence. I think that I would think that it would be, now's a really good time to engage in that work to see if there really are any technical issues with any single character IDNs.
Okay, thank you. That is noted.
Thank you. You have Audrey was just agreeing with Jeff. Simon, if you could hang around for our next part of the meeting, there is probably some guidance you could give us on some of exactly these definitions we are planning to put forward. So if you could move back to the original slide presentation. So we actually had one possible language to address one character IDN TLDs, and like your feedback on that. Let's start by borrowing definition you provided us. Thank you, Sarmad. Between different types of characters, letters like the Latin letters, A, B, C, Cyrillic letters that I don't know the names, characters that mean syllables, like Japanese kanas, alphabet, and Mayan, although the word has not ended, so we don't need Mayan language anymore. But we're probably most focused on the idea of allowing one child ideographs, such as found in Japanese kanji, traditional Chinese, simplified Chinese, and others. This example there is a central, not an exhaustive list. So what anybody in the work track or any icon staffer or found of such a language of that IDN one-child TLDs won't be disallowed for script language combinations where a character is in ideograph or ideogram, provided they are not country and or territory names. What are your thoughts on that? Both Saman, Frank, Kurt, and other WordTrac members. Any thoughts? Notators. There were already some comments in the chat, but according to one from Curtis, some single character IDNs are somewhat similar to single character ASCII, for some Latin members, but these are not these. So these would be specific whitelisting efforts. Jeff Newman said to add SEC, but that's it. But I would like to comment that what SEC advice mentioned is that work wasn't ready at the time they issued that advice. So it's kind of a circular reference to think, oh, we can't do that because SEC advice is against it. SEC advice was done at that moment under those conditions that say, hey, no work on IDN is ready at that point in time. But that changes significantly over 7 years. And if it needs to be progressed, we can specify policies. Hey, this can allow if this work is in progress. Since no takers so far, let's move to the next bullet point with that. We might want to coordinate these with CCNSO, GEC, and surely Jeff also SEC, since this is also based on SEC advice. But the question, should we, do we need to do it, or do we just go on our own? Not suggesting that I would be personally against that, but that's an option. other option is coordinating with them. But if we do, when we start, when we do the second reading of this consensus call, possibly in Copenhagen, when we finalize the work group report, when we finalize our policy product from all efforts in the center, so what would be a good moment to start? Not even people suggesting when we should start. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ruben. Cheryl Langdon, off the record. In terms of the coordination, I'm on the team that says include ESSAC. I agree with Jeff. I think the board would probably not go along with anything that didn't have ESSAC engaged and involved. And I think the rationale of how long it's been since the advice was originally given is not a reason to not include them. I think it's more of a reason to include them in some sort of coordination. I was attracted with the whitelist option that Kurt, and he's just popped something else into chat. I was quite attracted with that whitelist option when Kurt put it into the chat earlier and again now. So I think that's something that I'd like to consider as an addition or a friendly amendment to this text for consensus. In terms of if so, well, yes, I think we do need to coordinate and start work. But in terms of when, I think we have to take this, assuming that this gets consensus support from our sub-team, this has to go back to plenary. And I think part of what we should be asking plenary about is its support for an early start on the coordination for this matter. It's not something that's going to necessarily happen extraordinarily fast, and I would think getting it started in parallel along with our other work on subsequent procedures would be a wise thing indeed. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Just so I get straight from Kurt's idea and from what Cheryl supported, I would consider whitelisting scripts or and language combinations like Japanese kanji, so this one is whitelisted, or are we considering whitelisting character sets? Like, say, hey, this dictionary of Japanese kanji can be applied for, and these ones don't. Please, Sarmad.
I have a slightly different comment on a, you know, so I'd wait if somebody wants to come back on this particular thread and then I'll come in.
Please go ahead on a different comment. Please go ahead
comment.
This will give time for people to think on the topic we're on.
Okay. So I actually had a couple of comments on the one character IDNTLDs to think why they may actually cause a security issue. One of the arguments which has been presented is that the chances of confusability of a top-level domain increases if it is shorter. So a longer string has more characters and therefore can be different from another TLD string in many ways, in many different ways. But something which is shorter, for example, a single character, sometimes doesn't have enough, obviously, content that it can be dissimilar to some other string. So there is a larger chance of confusability with shorter strings, especially one-character strings. So that was one of the issues. The second is that especially calling out ideographs, normally top-level domains are considered to be script-based and not language-based. And therefore, these are just labels which may or may not actually have a meaning, linguistically speaking. And therefore, there could be an argument that if they don't really have a meaning and they're actually script-based, then if a particular character of a particular script is allowed, then why is not another character of another script allowed? Therefore, just limiting those two ideographs can actually be questioned. So those were a couple of comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Armand. I have a follow-up question on your first comment on that. Does that imply having something of a cultural bias or some sort? Let me say that for me, a Brazilian, it's kind of, some of the Japanese characters are kind of similar among them. So if I see two characters, they are they could be hard for me to tell apart, but would that apply as well for a speaker of that language?
I guess what I was saying was that if you have a longer string, the reader has more chances of disambiguating a confusable character because of the context, because some context is available. But if it is a single character, there is no context, and therefore the confusability increases. I'm not sure whether this addresses your question. If not, I'm happy to try to answer it again.
Samad, it does so, but I think we might need to take a longer discussion on that. So let me see what we have on. And check so that we have some comments like one from Avery that a longer string can make hiding a bogus character easily, like dot dictionary or dictionary with an E instead of an A. So the length argument is something that some people argued against in our chat. Now let's move to next topic, which is one we already mentioned, was variant ELDs. If you could move the slide, please. Oh, you have Steve Sachs is right there. Please go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Rubens. Actually, just raised my hand, so you didn't miss it for very much. This is Steve from staff. I just lost my train of thought. From a staff perspective, we would agree that reaching out to the SAC is probably a priority. At least from my perhaps shoddy memory, I don't recall that we necessarily agree that we that there's a need for a single character. Maybe there has been. I just don't recall. But I think a good initial step is what others have suggested in reaching out to the SAC to perhaps update their existing or provide an update to the existing GAC SAC advice or advisory. So perhaps what we could propose is that staff will look into the best way to communicate with the SAC on this and see about putting forth a proposal to the work group on how to reach out to them to ask them for an update to that. Hope that makes sense. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. But because you said that, your reward is getting an action item on that. So let's move to the variant ELDs topic. It's something that we have already discussed. And such a ban is currently based on one of the new ELDs, the NSO recommendations that string must not be confusing symmetry existing top-level domain. And that also applies to if two different applications came to be known as variant ELD that apply to them as well. There is a possible solution that the work trucks has already indicated that they see that as a solution to delegate variety of this, which would be to do technical bundling. Technical bundling was proposed by TIR for .ONG and .NGO, and it means that single name must belong to same registrant in different ELDs. So we have some two-part of questions here. One is, do people agree with this as a solution? Does this address the policy concerns that made people previously block delegation of variant ELDs? So anyone who agrees that this is a solution, please use the Adobe Connect agree function to say, oh, this is a solution that would allow delegation of variant ELDs. And while people think on that, we have Jeff Newman. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Vince. I thought that when I asked this question before, I think Sharmad had said that they are still looking at whether there could be some technical issues with the delegation of variant TLDs. So it seems to me that until that study's done, I think this might be premature. And I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess I just look for kind of guidance on when that study is going to be done. But I thought we were just saying before that until that study is done, that we wouldn't make any kind of recommendations to change the rules.
Thanks, Jeff. So Jeff's proposal is a deferral. So I can complete the studies on that. Any other suggestions or possibilities? Avi, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Avery speaking. And normally I don't raise my hand to disagree with my co-chair. But in this case, I think that if we have arguments based on what work has been done to make a provisional recommendation for a change, I see no harm in the sub-team actually making it, if it can reach consensus on making it. Obviously, any of the recommendations we make are contingent upon new facts coming in, new evidence, comments, agreement of the full group, et cetera. But I'm not exactly sure that I agree that we need to necessarily postpone a first cut at it if the group is ready to make one. If the group is not ready to make one, then a deferral is fine. But I don't think that having this bit of history of a bit of advice that was at best partial should necessarily preclude this group making, because otherwise we're in a situation where if ESSAC or whatever the extra review doesn't happen or doesn't happen in a timely manner, then this subgroup ends up stuck. And so I think can make a contingent policy recommendation based on technical information and other that people can bring to the discussion. Thanks.
Thanks, Avli. Sarmad has raised. Please go ahead, Sarmad.
Thank you. This is Sarmad. So I just wanted to make a comment on the possible solution which is being suggested. So as part of that work which we've been doing for variant ELDs, we've looked at different solutions which have been implemented, and there are more than one possible examples. So currently the solution by .ONG and .NGO, the technical bundling solution is one of the three possibilities, .China IDNC CTLD implements a separate one, .Taiwan IDNC CTLD variant, there are two IDNC CTLDs, they also implement a possible solution. So we've actually seen that there is more than one possible solution technically, which actually could be possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Salman. It leads me for a follow-up question. Is it possible that you or policy task force send us the three different solutions that you know to exist so we could evaluate among them?
We can certainly share the details, but I guess what I was saying was that depending on what the technical, what the community finally proposes, you know, there could actually be a fourth solution or a fifth solution. So at this time, I think specifying a particular solution maybe you know, maybe not the not the only mechanism to do this. Another possible way would be to define parameters of a solution and let the registries define their own solutions within those parameters. And there was actually some work which was initiated by IETF on variant TLD, in this context. And the technical community and IETF could not eventually come to a conclusion that there was one solution which was the solution. So another, as I said, another possible mechanism is to define what the parameters should be and let the registries innovatively produce whatever the solutions they want to meeting those parameters. Thank you.
Thank you, Samar. But I believe that even for defining those parameters from a higher level, from a policy level, knowing what the solutions would be interesting, so we can find common factors that address the policy concerns that people have regarding have violent TLDs in the root. So my ask is still standing, but your advice on looking at them at their nature instead of their specific is a very good one. Thank you for that. So since you are hard pressed on time, we could move on to the next slide. So one of the reviews that was done as part of the evaluation process was called Security and Stability Review. And later in the process, it was mentioned that it was only about IDN rendering. So our question for staff here is whether this is right or not. Say, hey, what actually was part of the security chain stability review? And then we can discuss the idea and part of this. I know Steve has his gender raised for a different reason, so someone wishes to address that. I know we are ahead of time, but if people are still wanting to move on, I move on as well. Farmad, is that an old hand or a new hand? Old hand.
Sorry, that's an old hand.
No problem. So since we are ahead of time, we follow these specific questions, both the staff and to the work group list. And we have no time for any review of the CCHO questions, which were already closed, so time permitting, all time does not permit. So, and we also don't have time for any other business. So, all we can say for now is goodbye. Thank you for the attendance. Very interesting session we have today. Bye bye.
Thanks, Ruben. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.